It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farad. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, our guest makes the case that the struggle against climate change has failed, but he says we still need to take action. First, two U.S. appeals court panels issued conflicting rulings on the federal subsidies portion of the Affordable Care Act today. At issue are the tax credits used to subsidize health care costs for those who live in states that didn't set up statewide exchanges. That group of states includes Wisconsin. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 4th District in Richmond ruled the federal subsidies were legal. The court said IRS interpretation of the law was a permissible exercise of the agency's discretion. But a few hours earlier, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit ruled the government could not subsidize health care for those participating in the federal exchange as opposed to the state exchanges. Here to explain these rulings and what they could mean for the future of the Affordable Care Act, we have Kyle Chaney. He's a reporter for Politico. Kyle, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be here.
Well, it was bad news, good news in that order from the perspective of the White House. What kind of reactions were we hearing as these rulings came down?
I think the reaction you heard from supporters of the healthcare law was very immediately was don't panic. This though the ruling from the D.C. Circuit, which, as you said, would basically end subsidies available to people who bought health insurance through the federal exchange, healthcare.gov. Again, that's 2/3 of the states. That would be, you know, catastrophic for the healthcare law and could lead to millions of people losing coverage. But again, there is a conflicting ruling. And it's going to wend its way through the courts for months, if not years, before there's actually a final determination.
Let's tackle each of today's rulings in turn. That one from the District of Columbia Circuit ruled, as we mentioned, against federal subsidies in states that didn't set up their own exchanges. What was the argument for overturning that part of the Affordable Care Act?
The argument there was that the law, essentially the intent there was that subsidies were only supposed to be available through exchanges built by states. The language of the law kind of says that plainly, but the argument against that has always been that the intent was always that every state would build its own exchange and that the federal government would step in where a state could not or would not, but that those would still be technically sort of run by the states. What the court said is, no, the law kind of is not just ambiguous on that, it actually says something completely different. So we can't support this idea that the federal exchange should be doling out subsidies when the law doesn't actually give it the authority to do that. Though the law doesn't give the authority, the IRS actually issued a rule that allowed those subsidies to start flowing. So this ruling basically vacates what the IRS did.
But there wasn't any kind of injunction from that. It doesn't mean that things change right now. Is that right?
Exactly. So the status quo is still in effect and will be for some time. So that's why I think you're hearing from supporters of Obamacare say, hey, take a breath. Let's wait and see how this plays out. We think it's going to get overturned when this goes to the full D.C. Court of Appeals, not just this three-judge panel. And if not, you could actually even see this go back to the Supreme Court because you have conflicting rulings.
And that's not a gimme that it's necessarily going to go to that full court, right? The Obama administration is trying to, they're filing to get that to happen.
Right. They're convinced, I think, that they also have the makeup of the right judges on that court that would look favorably on their argument. But no, it's not a guarantee. And again, when you have conflicting rulings at the appeals level, it's not those are usually ripe for what the Supreme Court takes a look at, too.
And over at this 4th District Court of Appeals in Richmond, they ruled, in effect, in favor of the Obama administration. What was the prevailing argument there?
Exactly. The argument there wasn't so much that the administration got it right, but that the law was so unclearly worded and ambiguous that they couldn't rule against the administration. It was that it seemed, you know, depending on how you parse it, that either argument could be right, and therefore the IRS was correct to or could be correct in issuing subsidies the way that it did, and so therefore they couldn't strike it. So it wasn't quite a wholehearted endorsement of the administration's argument, but definitely would preserve the subsidy situation as it is today.
This is a suit, or there have been a lot of suits, I should say, around the country from citizens, but backed by, in many cases, conservative think tanks or legal organizations. What were we hearing from them after, especially the District of Columbia ruling striking it down?
I think you're hearing mostly in the political realm, because I think even the conservatives who are happy with the ruling know that it's going to be several more shoes to drop before it's final. So what I think you're hearing now, especially from Republicans and conservatives, that hey, this is what we've been saying all along. This law is so poorly worded. This law is so badly crafted that the courts, not only are they conflicted, some of them even think that a big piece of the law needs to be overturned. But you know, this is a symptom of how rushed and poor, I guess, the process of crafting the law was.
Now, the rulings affect 36 states, including us here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. If that ruling we were just talking about, the one striking down these subsidies, went through, what would that mean for how the Affordable Care Act works in Wisconsin and elsewhere?
It's funny because Wisconsin's almost in its own category, because Governor Walker's health reform plan relies on the federal exchange to when he transferred people off of Badger Care there. So in some ways, Wisconsin may see a disproportionate impact if that ruling were to be upheld. But in general, it just means that states could have thousands, tens of thousands of people who, for all of a sudden, health care becomes unaffordable for them through the federal exchange, and would either have to get exemptions or find another way to get coverage, and that could be, from a policy point of view, from a well-being point of view, really a catastrophic situation.
Well, out there in the news lately, we saw the Supreme Court, become known as the Hobby Lobby ruling, allowing some companies to exempt themselves from covering contraception. It was a big deal, but it was kind of an around-the-edges sort of thing for the Affordable Care Act. This is much more at the core, isn't it?
This is at the heart. This is really, the Hobby Lobby situation was very controversial, and it attracts a lot of, political intrigue, and this religious conflict is important to a lot of people. But in terms of what the Affordable Care Act needs to function, the ability to offer subsidies through the exchanges is absolutely central to making this law work and extending coverage to as many people as were able to receive it. So the law would be completely almost dismantled in a way if this ruling were upheld.
This would mean that I've seen different numbers, including numbers like 5 million people, mm-hmm. maybe, would now not be able to afford this unsubsidized coverage, so
yep.
They can't get the coverage, but they're required to get the coverage.
Although there is a mechanism that says if you can't afford the coverage, you're not required anymore, so you'd be exempt from any penalties, but then you're still left with lots of people without insurance, and that may be a bigger issue in some respects.
Do you get a sense from opponents of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that they are hoping to destroy the whole thing in court, or are they doing it all fronts? They're hoping Republicans take control of the legislature, then the presidency, and do it that way instead.
Yeah, I think it's sort of an all hands on deck kind of thing. The courts was just one avenue where they've been hoping to chip away at it. I think when they lost in 2012 on the individual mandate argument, which is also a central component, I think the strategy shifted towards the politics. But the Hobby Lobby ruling and this ruling in particular sort of revived that hope, I think, that the courts could be a venue to really get at the law.
We've seen the Affordable Care Act in the Supreme Court a couple times now. If these conflicting appeals court rulings, and I think others coming down the line, go through to the Supreme Court, when would that be? When would they take it up?
It's unclear whether, I've talked to some colleagues who sort of track the workings of the court, and they seem to think that it could be conceivably the next term, so next year, but it may be an additional year, too. So we could be talking about a status quo situation for a couple years. In a way that would potentially go past at least the midterm elections, but would definitely be a long-term situation.
Kyle, thanks so much for joining us today.
You got it.
That's Kyle Chaney. He's a reporter for Politico.